What are some of your earliest memories as a child? Like when, say, your childhood, what's one of the stories that comes to mind? For me, one of the things that, kind of an early childhood memory is I was about 8, maybe 9, and we were in swimming lessons, and I have a younger brother, Eric. So he would have been about 7, maybe 6, something like that. Many of you will have a chance to meet him next week. He'll be visiting with us. And so we were in swimming lessons, and because he was 7 or 6 or something like that, it really wasn't appropriate for my mom to help him get changed. So it was my responsibility to do that. Now, if you've ever met Eric, you'll understand what I mean here. See, Eric has special needs. And now, of course, growing up, we didn't really know that. It was one of those things that you sort of discover over the years. You know, I've got the younger brother, like a lot of other kids, and who's sort of the tag-along for all the play dates. But something was different. And at the time, we had no idea really what it was, other than we were just trying to figure it out. So most family vacations involved some trip to a hospital somewhere to talk to some specialist of some sort. And at the time, if I'm being honest, I kind of resented it. So we were. It was my responsibility to get Eric changed and to make sure that we got him out in time. And Eric was having a really fun time in the change room. For whatever reason, he just liked being there and liked the state of being in between bathing suit and street clothes. And he wouldn't come. He wouldn't come. And so after about 3 attempts to bring him out, I realized I hadn't done my job. And nothing about my parents made this happen, but something shifted in me. At least this is where that memory, this is what it triggers for me, and this is kind of what I want to talk about today, is on some level, the idea that I needed to be the responsible one got lodged in my heart. And in some twisted little way, the idea of your job is to be the responsible one. And if you're not the responsible one and you haven't done your job, there's something wrong with you. And in that way, and on that day, through nobody's fault at all, I experienced a measure of brokenness, a crack. In this particular case, I guess you could describe it, I'm going to extend this metaphor a little bit, a hairline crack. Kind of like black ice, you don't see it on the road. But it's a hairline crack, a crack of identity. Because when we're broken, we start to believe a lie about ourselves. And in my case, the lie is, if you let people down, if you don't get your job accomplished, then somehow you're less of a person. And so on some level, if I'm being really honest, and I hope I can be in church today, part of my story of brokenness is connected to that, not through anybody's fault, just through what happened to my own heart, that there's a performance addiction of sorts. I know that I matter because I get the job done. I know that I matter because I was the responsible one. We're in a series where we're looking at the church. And one of the things that's really great about the church is also the thing that's really bad about the church. The church is filled with people. And people, the Bible tells us, are broken. It's the big story of all of Scripture. Today we're going to look at just a few verses, 7 verses actually, in the book of Ephesians that help us to understand this. And I want us to take some time with this issue. Where are you broken? What lies have gotten lodged in your life? Many of your broken areas of brokenness, I know that most of mine are, they're hairline cracks. They're very hard to see. But let's take a look. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verses 1 through 7. And I urge you to have your Bibles open. And if you need some Bibles, if you don't have a Bible of your own, we'd love to give you one. There's Bibles on the back table. As for you, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus, as for you, all of you, you, y'all, plural, you were, what's the word? You were dead. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived where? Among. All of us lived among them at one time. So the problem in this world, it's inside of us, it's all around us, we are marinating in it. We live in a world that is distant from God. We live in a world that has brokenness at the core, and we've all been affected by it. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, because we're all in the same boat. We were by nature deserving of wrath. There is something twisted at the core of who we are as human beings. You know, one of the lies of our culture and in this time, maybe you've heard it, or is this idea that because it makes the world very, very hard to understand if we believe it, is the idea of the world, everybody's good. In which case, you're going to be shocked at the things that happen in history. But the arc of the story of Scripture is different. We were created for good, but we have been broken. We have been cracked. We are not who God intended us to be. All of us. Shattered versions of what God had wanted us to be. Now you know why the pottery's in your hand. We're going there in a moment. Now the thing about our world with our brokenness it's pretty easy at times to keep it concealed. So whether it's the hairline crack, because the thing is, you know, the thing that's wrong in me, at least one of many, I can make you a list, and talk to Anita, she can really make you a list. That same lie that gets lodged in my heart, Andrew, you only matter if you get the job done. Andrew, you only matter if you fulfill the expectations of the people around you. That little lie. See, it's easy to conceal because most people actually like what happens as a result. I'm a responsible person. That's a good thing. I tend to keep a pretty tight calendar, and I tend to keep my promises. Hopefully you've experienced that from me. And that's good. But there's a dark side too. Actually, a lot of us, for the attributes that we have in our life, there's a dark side. There is a hairline crack underneath the surface. There's a lie that gets in there right along with the attribute. Where are you broken? We also live in a world of things like social media. And so, there's a problem with Pinterest. Anybody on Pinterest? Okay, some of you are going to admit to it. Okay, but how about, you don't need to put your hands up, how about Facebook? Yeah, you're on Facebook. And so you see each other's profiles. Have you noticed that when somebody puts their picture on a profile on Facebook or their project on Pinterest, they only put up Pinterest, you only put up the projects that worked. On Facebook, you only put up the pictures where you look good. At least I hope you do. Most of us don't want to see you with your bedhead. Or, you know, we don't want to smell your morning breath. But what it means is when we look at the world around us, what we see is all these kind of glossed over versions of success. If the only part you see of me is this, you might think the pot is whole, but it's not. It's just well concealed. I can hide it, and you do too. I can hide it from myself, and even worse, I can look to hide it from God. Because the problem is, the longer I keep it hidden from God, the longer it's going to remain unredeemed. The monsters, they only live in the dark. Because we're going to keep reading. We are broken people. We are broken people. But that is not the end of the story. So keep reading with me. Ephesians chapter 2. So verse 3 ends, like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. And then verse 4 starts off with this wonderful word. What's the word? But. But. You know when you're in a conversation with somebody and they say, I'm really proud of you, but. And then whatever they say after that makes you almost forget all the stuff they said just before. I really love you, but. Hey, you did a really great job, but. And then whatever they say after the but makes you forget. We are by nature deserving of wrath, but, because of whose great love? His great love for us. God, who is rich in mercy, made us, what's the word? What were we before? Dead. Dead in our transgressions, and now we are what? Alive. From dead to alive, and it's going to get better than that, believe it or not. Dead to alive. Made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. The message of the gospel, can I see your eyes? The message of the gospel, the primary message of the gospel is that we are saved by grace. We are saved because of what happened right here. You don't get to heaven because you're a good person, because the good news is you're not. There is only one good person in history who lived, and we killed him. We are all bad people. But God, because of his great love for us, it is by grace we have been saved. We have been set free. We have been called to life in Christ. And God gets to verse 6 because we come to life. And then what's the next word? And God what? Raised. So not only have we in our places of life where we have earned death and where we have caused death, and death has happened to us because of the brokenness in the world around us, have been brought back to life. We have been raised up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You have a piece of pottery in your hand, I hope. Do you have a pen as well? What I'm hoping you'll do today is take a little bit of time and to write on that piece of pottery a word or a phrase that expresses your brokenness. Where are you broken? Some of us, like me, have the performance addiction. Some of us, because I know many of the stories around the room. Substance addiction? What's the difference between a performance addiction and substance addiction? Not much. They're both addictions. Where are you broken? Where are you broken? Sometimes our brokenness is so evident. I mean, it's highly visible, like a shattered pot on the floor. Other times it's like those hairline cracks, but all of us are broken somewhere. Where are you broken? Where are you dead? What are the lies and habits that have burrowed into your life? The message of the gospel is that God, because of his great love for us, can take those areas of our life where there is death and bring them back to life. And even more so, he can raise them up. He can raise you up. Because here's the other good news that goes along with this. It's very often in our places of brokenness that God most wants to use us to heal. Think about it. Who better to minister to a person that's been in the trap of substance abuse than someone who has been through it before? Who better to minister to the person who has survived physical or emotional or sexual abuse as a child than someone who is also a survivor? Who better to minister to the person whose area of brokenness right now is because you're recovering from a divorce than someone that has been through divorce? Who better to minister to you for the many women that part of their story, maybe the area of brokenness is you there's a number on there because that was how many years ago you aborted your child. Who better to minister to that pain than someone that has been there and knows it and knows that God can redeem it and God can bring healing? Where are you broken? Where are you broken? Because what I'd like us to do in the next few minutes, we sort of rearrange the service to create some time and space for this, is to provide an opportunity for us to bring our brokenness to the place it needs to come, which is to the foot of the cross. So in a few minutes, we're actually going to dim the lights a little bit just so it can create a more intimate space. We're going to have prayer stations around the room, so if you just want to sit and pray a bit, we'll have communion stations up at the front. So when you're ready, don't take all the time you like. You can come forward and receive communion to remember the broken body of Christ, the shed blood of Christ, this powerful, enduring symbol of his love. But it starts with the question, where are you broken? What's God bringing to mind today? What's that earliest memory that has shaped you, that experience that let the lie get in under your skin, that has been lingering and affecting and like a hairline crack? Where are you broken? Like to lead us in a time of prayer. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that we can come to you just as we are. That God, you understand our brokenness. That through the cross, you meet us there and you redeem those hurt places. Lord, all around this room are cracks, both invisible and visible. Our areas of pain, our areas of hurt. And Lord, we thank you that you can take those places of death and you can bring them back to life. And thank you, God, that when we remember our brokenness and we give it over to you, you can take those areas of brokenness and turn them into points of healing. So Lord, we thank you for the call that you have for us as the church, as a community of wounded healers, as a community of broken people who minister out of our brokenness to the brokenness in the world around us. So Lord, we invite your Spirit to minister to us and through us in this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.